This podcast is provided by National MI for informational purposes only and should not be construed as professional advice. Reference to any third-party products or services, as well as the views, thoughts, and opinions of guests, does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by National MI. Views and opinions expressed by National MI employees are those of the individual employee and do not necessarily reflect the view of National MI.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Mortgage Mix podcast. My name is Ralph Remy. I'm your host, and I'm excited to be back with you here as we start wrapping up the year. And I'm bringing in a special guest to really talk about planning for end of year and planning into your new year. I have the one and only Dr. Bruce Lund from 90 Day Sales with me. Hey, Dr. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, man. How are you? You guys, I was joking around with you. You guys are getting Coach Bruce, not Dr. Bruce today, right? I got the hat on. I got the laid back look going on. You're used to the suit and tie. So,
yeah, you know, I was going to kind of follow it up with that. The only thing you're missing is kind of the headset and you're ready to go. You're on the sidelines, ready to go here.
are you making plugs at my Jim Harbaugh Michigan Wolverines right now? Is that what you're trying to do?
I could be, you know, I was hoping somebody would be behind me kind of with a sign saying I'm stealing Ralph's signs or something like that. You know, so
I need cue cards and what to say behind you. That's what I need. There you go.
That's right. Well, so today, I appreciate you coming on. Obviously, you do so much work with us here at National MI when it comes to not just our webinars that we host as part of National MI University, but obviously you've gone out and spoken at many events and company events throughout the country in conjunction with us as a sponsor. So we certainly appreciate that. Well, so today, really, I want to talk about we're coming to the end of the year. We know it's been a tough year when it comes to our industry, and things continue to change and things are evolving. And, you know, as originators out there, and even as managers out there, is how do we get ourselves ready to kind of take a little bit of the learnings we've received this year and gone on to the new year? And, you know, I think it's cliche to say you need to do a business plan at the end of the year. And I think some people just do it because you're told to do it, not because you have any intent of really doing a plan behind it. So I want to ask, what are some of the key elements to the plan that you should be looking at, especially coming off the year we've had and probably looking at the same type of year next year based on all the projections that we've seen out there?
Yep, for sure. And Ralph, one of the things that you just said there, well, it's just checking the box, you know, my manager, whoever told me to do a business plan. And, you know, I think that's a defeatist attitude right away, right? So I am really of the belief that planning isn't something we did. It's something we do. It's an ongoing process, right? Now, some might say I'm a little too extreme where every single day I want to have 80% of my day mapped out, right? Going into the week, I want to have 80% of my week mapped out, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the reality is if you're just fumbling around day to day to day, especially in a market right now, right, where if you don't have a plan, and I mean, not to go down the rabbit hole, but, you know, when we come out of 2020, 2021, where people just woke up and they reacted, right? It was just like deals coming in and it was, you know, 12, 14 hour days. And, you know, I'm not saying anybody was lazy because they were working harder than they've ever worked to get all these deals across the finish line, right? But now it's like a completely different skill set where a lot of people have forgotten how to be proactive.
Exactly. And that's where the plan comes into play to kind of say who are those key people you need to be in front of. I think a few years back, so a lot of people didn't spend a lot of time continuing to cultivate the relationships they built and worked so hard to cultivate. They got away from that a little bit. And now you're coming back. The market has shifted. Maybe some people are still around, others are not. And now you're scrambling and you know, you can't really work. And so that's why I think, you know, it's so important as we come to the end of the year, talk about what is the plan? What do you want that to look like? And you mentioned something about the 90-day plan. So I want to talk through that because you said sometimes it's about checking the box. And we have so many people that just say, hey, my manager asked me to do a business plan. Let me just put some things together, check the box, and that's that. But it's not just about doing the plan and having it as a one-time year exercise. It's a continuous planning. Yeah. Throwing the sports analogy out there, you know, after every drive, you've got quarterbacks with the tablets on the sidelines looking to see what happened in that last drive so they can adjust and then do better the next time. We have to take our business kind of the same way. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts, being that 90-day cycle. Your business is built around the fact that you're constantly looking at your plan, evaluating and making adjustments. What advice do you give to your coachees and even just to our audience about the continuous adjustments?
Yeah, I think the adjustments is the key word there, right? Because I think that's the challenge with an annual plan, right? I mean, if we're looking back at Q4 of 2022, right? Like, we're in 2023 now, yes. So we look back at last year, and well, I mean, that's a full year. I guarantee a lot of things have changed or shifted since, you know, last year at this time, right? So it's good to say, okay, this is what we want to do. This is the forecast for the year ahead. But the reality is things change, especially in housing and banking, quicker than any other industry that I know of. Yeah. And so that's where it really is like, okay, let's look at the whole picture going into the year. But then from there, it's like just 90-day chunks. Let people be proactive about is look ahead to the full year. Sure, set your goals, set all that kind of stuff, right? What are your annual events that you have on the calendar? What's your marketing plan? All that kind of stuff. But then from there, it really is, okay, what is the focus for Q1? And so then that way, and then basically every last Friday is where you sit down and you kind of just do a half day. Deep dive into the quarter ahead. So that really is the 90-day cycle for me. Is every last Friday I sit down and I'll say, okay, what worked? What should be celebrated? Because I do want people to celebrate progress. And notice I use the word progress, Ralph, rather than success, right? Right? Because it was a challenging year, right? And that's typically in my mortgage banking friends. I mean, they're so numbers driven. And listen, I'm in sales. I coach business. I get it. But in markets like these, we have to celebrate progress over just the numbers, right? And the pure volume of it all.
Yeah, I agree. And the big point you said there is the analysis, you know, and not overanalyzing. Sometimes a plan just looks good and you're like, yep, you know, and when we say the analysis, obviously Dr. Bruce works in 90-day cycles. I think we both agree at a minimum, you should be reviewing your plan every quarter, at the end of every quarter. Some people do it every month. And if that works for you, go for it. But, you know, if you're looking at this every quarter, sometimes you're like, yep, I'm on pace, I'm on plan, exactly. Looks good, no adjustments needed. You don't have to make an adjustment for the sake of making an adjustment. It's more about review and adjust if needed, or at least confirm that the plan is still on pace.
Yep. I love the fact that you said that, Ralph, because, again, I'm not trying to make your life complicated. If you have a plan that's working, just keep working that plan.
Right.
In fact, if you're trying to change, you know, seven different things about your plan every single week, then you have monkey mind like a lot of entrepreneurs do. Right. It's going to be incredibly difficult to go out there and achieve the plan.
Right. Yeah. The, you know, kind of just hopping from one thing to the other is just not going to work.
And I've been guilty of it. So, I mean,
yeah, I think we've all been there. Yeah. And I think that's part of why we're doing this. It's the opportunity to kind of learn from our mistakes and share that. That's why you're in the coaching business. You know, the coaching that you do a lot of times is derived from some of the learning you've had in your business and in your career, if you will, along the way.
Yeah, robust isn't always best.
Correct.
And I'll tell you, man, when I first launched my business, which is, you know, 7 years ago now, putting together just all of my business, my curriculum, all that, after about a year, year and a half, people are like, man, this is just too much. And so I got to simplify it. I have to simplify my own stuff because it's just not realistic with what I'm expecting people to go out there and do within my own business plan. So I just want to echo that because, you know, there's a great book called Essentialism, and it really is. And as you know, Ralph, like me living out of hotels now again and doing the nomad, it's like the minimalist lifestyle. It's like, all right, I got two of these shirts. I got four of these pants. You know what I mean? So like simple, like whenever I do this life, which tends to be every 2 years or so, it's amazing how simplified I get with my wardrobe and my packing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I do think that relates over into a business plan.
Absolutely. So talking about our plan, and what are some of the essential elements of the plan that someone should have in there? Obviously, we've talked about numbers, but I'm hoping that when someone's thinking of numbers, there's some method to the madness, if you will, as far as how they got to the number, not just saying, I want to do X million in production next year. Well, A, is that realistic? B, how did you come up with that number? So what are some of the key elements? And I'm going to throw a second caveat in there, and that is, where does education come into play here? Because obviously we are educators at heart. It is what we do each and every day. you know, and right now our industry as a whole and really our clientele out there is starving for education, wanting to be educated on how do you get ready to buy a home? What are some of the things happening in the market? How does that impact them? So where does education come to play as well with the different elements of the plan?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second part first, and we'll go back to the first part. So the actual education piece of this to me is twofold. Number one, every successful person, like whether you want to listen to a podcast or you want to get, you know, is it motivational or is it educational? Like those are kind of the two buckets. When I listen to something, it's like, you know, help, I'm in a funk, right? So I need somebody like a Ralph or a Dr. Bruce to maybe pick me up. And so I have people that I listen to on audio whenever I'm in a funk or I feel like I've lost my confidence or my drive. Like I'm not one of those, if you love what you do, you'll never work another day. Now, the majority of time, I hope I feel that way, but there are times that I lose motivation. So yeah, that's where I need to find that person that kind of picks me up and gets me in the right frame of mind, because we all go through those phases. Again, every 90 days, I feel like every 90 days I have a few day funk and then I have to kind of snap myself out of it. And we all work in sales. Yeah. And confidence is the memory of success. And so, you know, in markets like these that are challenging markets for my housing and banking friends, when you haven't stringed together a lot of success, then you're going to start to lose confidence. And that's where the training and that's where being able to borrow confidence from other people comes into play. So I kind of put that part of it into one of two buckets. It's either, am I listening to it to snap out of it, or am I listening to it to get better at my skills?
Yeah.
And then from there, Ralph, I take that a step further, and this kind of gets into the marketing plan. So I know I knew we were going to bounce around a little bit. That's what we do. So,
that is what we do.
So when you talk about a business plan, like to me, that's overarching. You're talking about your sales plan. You're talking about your marketing plan. You're talking about your personal plan. You're talking about your overall business and every part of it that you're trying to pull. I mean, it really is kind of a broad blanket statement when you're talking about your business plan. Part of my plan for my 90-day cycle is, you know, once a week, I want people, if you listen to something on audio or you attend a workshop, you know, National, I know you guys do a lot of amazing workshops. Well, take that knowledge and give it away. Pay it forward to your database of people. Like, I was listening to this and it spurred this idea, and I just want to share that with my database of people, because the majority of you are trying to work with B2B people as well. You're working with the real estate agents, the financial advisors. Well, they're all in business just like you are. So if you can pay that message forward, well, now that's part of your marketing plan as well. So I hope that answered that part of it. And then getting back into the numbers part of that. So I had mentioned, you know, when I look at a business plan, I always start with the sales plan first. The numbers. Right. So you brought up a good point, because a lot of people bring up like an arbitrary number. I want to be a $100 million producer. I want to be a $50 million producer. I want to be a $20 million producer, whatever that number is. But they don't really have that internal why. Like, okay, this is why I want or I need or I must hit that number. Maybe it's the fact that you have kids going to school, that you have to pay for their education. Maybe it's the fact that you want to, like, real estate is one of your favorite investments. And so you want to buy an investment property. Maybe it's just the structure of your team. You know, I know a lot of people, especially right now, it's like, you know, I had four people on my team and what do I do, you know, with these kinds of things that are going on. So I think that's one part of it, Ralph, is don't just set an arbitrary number. It's like, why do you want to hit that number? Not just because my manager wants me to hit those numbers.
Yeah. So as we start kind of wrapping up, I do want to take a moment to talk about managers. So you just said that, not just because my manager wants to do it. So let's talk to the leaders out there, and because they have their plans as well, whether it's for individual production, if they're producing managers, and or their branch, or even if you're talking regional leadership and above, you know, what type of plan or what should they be looking at their plan? And also, how do they support their loan officers when it comes to the plan, as far as giving that feedback and then kind of continuous coaching to help them as they're doing their reviews every 90 days?
Yeah, Ralph, this is fresh because I did a webinar with you guys yesterday on 2024, you know, business planning for managers. And in that presentation, I kind of broke it down into two parts. The first part was all about you, the manager. And the second part was like the trainer of, you know, taking a plan back to your team and that kind of a thing. But, you know, I started off the webinar by, you know, talking about to the manager themselves is you have to have agreements with your players. So going into the year, this is what you can expect from me, the manager. Like, these are the agreements that, like, the bare minimal things that you should expect from me, right? Whether it's a weekly call, you know, whether it's the support part of it, whether, you know, like, there's just so many parts of that. Like, You know, I can solve your problems, or I can help solve those problems. I can give you a pick me up, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's the first part, is just looking at yourself internally as a manager. Like, are you doing what you should be doing to help support your team right now? When they bring a challenge or an issue to you, or is it just like, well, I'll just go figure it out? Or are you actually an active participant in that rescue for that? So I think that's the first part. Like, what, looking at you as a manager, like your traits, you know, like what do you want to be known as? As a manager, are you, we use these sports analogies, right? So I think about, are you like a Pete Carroll players coach, like intense, but fun and positive? That's more my style. It's like, you know, I have the intensity where, listen, things have to get done. There's a level of accountability and standard that we have to meet, but I want to have fun doing it, right? That's more my coaching style versus a Bill Belichick, where it's like hardly fun ever, very disciplinarian, which is a whole nother conversation, getting the right people on your team. But I do think that's part of it though. It's just looking internally, you know, looking at the person in the mirror, and saying, you know what, am I doing what I should be doing? This is one of the questions I always ask managers. Would I want to play for myself? Right? Would I want to play for me? Right? And so, you know, what are those intangibles? What are you bringing to that table? You know, and one of the ways that I kind of say that is, when I'm with you, how do I feel about myself? When I'm with you, do I feel better? Do I feel like I can take over the world? Do I feel like you take, you know, complicated things and make them simpler? So that's the first part of the plan for the manager, in my opinion, is just kind of doing that self-reflection of, what did I do well? You know, you could do that whole SWOT analysis, my strengths, my weaknesses, my opportunities, my threats, and then just really honing in. And, you know, one of the, it's a kind of a silly exercise, Ralph, but it's like, what one word do you want to focus on for the upcoming year? I was kind of thinking about that for my business. I have the word like relentless, right? Like, and I know it's a great book by Tim Grover, but you know, it's like, just keep being relentless. And so that's the kind of the word, like every time you get knocked down, get back up, you know, try to laugh it off kind of a thing. Because, you know, I'm coming up on year 8, and have you ever heard of the concept, the 10-year overnight success story, Ralph? That's kind of where I feel like I'm getting to, right? It's like, you know, like coming up on year 10, I mean, we have a bunch of amazing progress that's going on in our company. Big thanks to National MI for that as well. But it's like, nobody really sees all the behind the scenes stuff. One of my favorite singers is Gary Allen, and he has a song, you know, it's like, nobody told me about this part. And that's a big part of our business. But I mean, again, you have to, as a manager, it's like self-reflection and constantly looking at, how am I supporting my players? Do I have the right players in my team? If I'm building out my roster, you know, I mean, this is going a whole lot deeper than the question that you have, but you know, did I inherit my roster versus can I recruit my own roster? Like, those are whole different managing skill sets that are required. I used to be a high school basketball, baseball, and volleyball coach. And so, like, hey, these are your kids. I mean, like, make them better. And it's like, well, I can't go recruit other kids. It's just like, this is what I'm working with, you know, sort of.
Yeah, you didn't have a transfer portal in high school.
That's right.
Yeah, so that, you know, interesting you say about like agreements. I call them commitments. So what are your commitments that you're committing to your team? Like, when someone, like you said, when you're bringing somebody onto your team, you've got to tell them almost the why do they want to work for you? What are you committing to doing to help them be better at what they do? So that's kind of number one. And I know this will go a little bit into coaching, but you kind of talked a little bit about that. And when they come with a problem, especially in today's market, there's a lot of originators out there that have never experienced a quote unquote down market. It's interesting because we think of our industry having so many long timers who have seen these ups and downs, but quite a few out there that are not long timers and have never even been through this type of cycle. And they're looking for guidance from their managers, you know, and as leaders, we need to kind of, as they're starting to put their plans together, kind of bringing it back to kind of our business planning type of topic. It's not about telling them what to do, because if you're just telling them, it may or may not work for them. It may work for you, and it may have worked for you when you were originating, or if you're still originating, but it may not work for them. So it's about having a conversation to help them come up with their plan. If you help them come up with their plan, first of all, they're more likely to execute on it because it's their plan, not your plan, and they have a vested interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big part of that, Ralph, is the mini private victories, right? Like, just keep stacking those small wins. You know, this is the part about coaches, right? We're full of cliches.
Yeah.
But we're full of cliches because they really do work, you know? And so I think, just think about that. So your point being of, hey, listen, the reality is for our even seasoned friends that I know, they're like, I've never seen a market like this.
Yeah.
Right. It's the, this, the, like the perfect storm of just low inventory, affordability, rates go up. Like there's just so many different variables. So listen, even our seasoned friends that have been doing it for 20, 30 years, and they've been through the last, you know, recession or the last dip, the last housing crisis, even they say we really haven't seen a market quite like this. So even with them, with coaching, it just goes back into, I know you've heard me say this before, Ralph, but it, like, is this a vocation? Is this your career or is this a job? You know, is this a vocation versus your occupation? And your vocation is your voice, your calling, right? And I go back to 2020, 2021, when all my mortgage banking friends were too busy being fabulous because the markets were great. Well, guess what? The coaching business, I mean, we almost collapsed, right? We can't do live events. We can't do all that kind of stuff. So when I went through that, it was just like a resilience, right? Staying gritty, but it's like just stack those small wins.
Yeah.
And you got to find, you have to find joy. You almost have to enjoy the process. I mean, Ralph, you and I should just have a sports show, but it's like going back to, I mean, I just remember Kobe Bryant talking about people like that at that level just love the process. Yeah. So even when they win that championship, it's like the next day he's back in the gym at 4 a.m. Like, it's just crazy. I know they're wired a little bit differently, but think about that for your career, is you really do have to enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when it's challenging times, it's like, you know what? I like the competition. It's like, and I use analogy when I first launched my business out in Denver, I was at a co-working space. And I mean, the first 90 days I was like shooting 15 minutes of videos every single day. Right. I was like, I basically sold the program. I had to create the program. So it was like, right, I'm shooting all the videos and all that, but I'm going to networking events. And there was one night where the printer wouldn't work. I had my whole studio set up, and while I wasn't mastering my materials at that point, so I needed notes, and the printer wouldn't work. And so I'm like, I just remember like almost having a breakdown that night. And so I just had to kind of, it goes back to sometimes you just have to teach, you have to coach your own self. Yeah. I just remember my old mentor said, like, it's times like these, man, you just kind of have to laugh it off. Or it's times like these that most people will give up and give in, but not you. So that goes back to, is this your career sort of a thing?
Yeah, that's a great way to kind of end it, almost put a final exclamation point on our conversation today. It's how are you going to keep grinding, keep, you know, working through it, do the activities. You use the Kobe Bryant example, and I heard a very similar example about him being the first one always in the gym at 5 a.m. Even on road trips, he's down at the hotel gym working out. And you know what, though, as a leader, though, he got his teammates, a lot of them were coming back from being out all night. And that's, they, right, see him in the elevator and like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the gym. And some of them actually have heard stories, self-reflect, and say, that's why he's the best. That's, he's, right, not out all night like we are partying at 5 a.m. While we're going up to our rooms, he's coming down. Yep. And it made a lot of people change. So how are you kind of maybe changing your mentality a little bit to say, I've got to work on my business each and every day, put in the effort. It, yep, may not lead to a success today, but it will in the future. And then you get those small wins, like you mentioned, Dr. Bruce. Okay. So
Ralph, so, one last, I know we got it. We're ending this thing, but one last thing that kind of spurred this thought is nobody's above it right now. And what I mean by that is, again, talking to our seasoned friends, but it's like, well, I used to go to open houses and I don't need to do that anymore. I'm above it. I'm not picking on them because I was at that point, at one point in my career, I'm like, well, I'm Dr. Bruce and I'm spoken at the LA Convention Center in the New York City and Marriott Marquis, you know, business will come to me. And you know, it's like, as soon as you have that mentality, you've lost, right? So that would be another key point here. Make your plan, your business plan, simplified. Go all the way back to your first year, the first 2 years of your business, when, you know, you were doing a lot of things right that a lot of times that we get away from, and just recommit to those little things, and don't have the mindset that you're above any of this stuff, because we're not. And that's, as soon as we have that mindset, in my opinion, it's a done deal.
Well, that's when the person grinding is going to pass you. That's it. Yeah. So, well, I can't thank you enough, Bruce, I'll call you Coach Bruce today, for joining us here on the Mortgage Mix podcast.
Now I am Bill Belichick, Ralph.
There you go. So now we got it all covered there. So as a reminder for those of you listening to us, make sure to subscribe to the Mortgage Mix on wherever you download your podcast. If you're watching us on the video through YouTube, make sure you just hit the subscribe button there on YouTube to subscribe to the Mortgage Mix so you get notified every time we release a new episode. So on behalf of Dr. Coach Bruce Lund, myself, Ralph Remy, we appreciate you being on, and we look forward to hearing you and seeing you all next time. Take care, everybody.